you didn't know that you're going to have to hear me twice.
Praise the Lord.
And I didn't know until 2 o'clock yesterday. So the Word tells me, though, that I got to be instant in season and out of season. In other words, I got to be ready at any time. We're living as it tells us in Timothy, we're living in perilous times. Times that we don't know what's going to be coming. Times we have a time to praise God for what we see taking place with abortion. And then on the other hand, we hear the enemy raising his head, and the left is really upset that that passed. They're more upset, though, that it passed, that the Supreme Court also passed that the states have to honor private schools with their funding, federal funding, which they were a lot of states were trying to get out of that. And on the religious side, and I don't like to say religion, I ought to say on the church side, that there's other things that have come down in the last 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, God is moving. And He's moving in His direction. And we wonder why sometimes, why all this other stuff had to take place. Well, I'm telling you, we're living in a time where we need the power of God in our own individual lives. And not only in our own individual lives, but in the body of Christ. We need the power of God. Jesus said that it was expedient that He would go, that He would send a comforter. As I closed last Sunday, I said that if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, with heaven speaking in your tongue, you cannot claim to be a Pentecostal. Now, a lot of you will disagree with me, but how can you be claimed to be a Pentecostal if you're not being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because that was the birth of the church. And I want to read something to you this morning. You're going to find out that I am Pentecostal right to the very marrow of my bones. And I wasn't always Pentecostal. I wasn't always baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't always believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I was at a church that was a nominal church that never taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Never brought it up. But God has His way of dealing with us. You know, and when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's not the end of it. We can't sit and raise our hands and say, I met it. I've got utopia. I'm there. No, God didn't baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He didn't have us be baptized just to sit on the seat and do nothing. In Acts, I want to read to you from, in the second chapter, I want to read something to you that a lot of churches won't hear from. It says in the second chapter, in the 38th verse, it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar, as many as the Lord our God will call. What's he saying there? Some say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for the disciples and not for us today. That's not the Word of God. That's not what it's saying there. It's saying the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us today. And you know, we need to be seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, you need to be seeking it. Because I'm going to tell you something. And don't misunderstand me this morning. The first step, that causes you to become a candidate to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to repent and receive Jesus Christ into your life. And let the blood of Jesus cover you and forgive you of your sins and cover your sins. Your sins are thrown into the sea of unforgiveness. And now you walk in the realm of Jesus Christ. And you become Jesus said, I must go. It's expedient that I leave. And I'm going to send you a comforter. Somebody that will pick up. Now, a lot of people say, well, boy, the book of Acts is a great book. Well, yes, it is. But the book of Acts is not done yet. It's not finished. It's not over with. We are living, the church is living the book of Acts. I want you to stop and think of what I'm saying this morning. We are still living. And the book of Acts should set the example for you and for me to move on in the body of Christ, to move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Acts, he has set the example for us. Paul and Peter and the disciples, they have paved the way for the church. And if we're not doing that, if we're not fulfilling that, then we're in trouble. I want to read to you from Solomon dedicates the temple. But I want to read to you from 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you praise and glory and honor. I thank you, God, for the privilege we have to be here in this your house. And to unite together, Father, as one body, united by your Spirit, to honor, to move by your Spirit, to be touched by your Spirit, to be ministered to by your Spirit. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you that you'll anoint it. Your anointing breaks the yoke. And if there's anything binding us, Father, I pray, O God, that that yoke will be broken. That yoke will be broken, and God will be released to receive and walk as you want us to walk. Oh, Father, I give you praise. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, that we could stand on your word and move upon your word, and your word will lead and guide and direct us, Father. And God, I give you praise, and I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. It said, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord. The presence of God was so strong. Because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children saw how the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but how many of you want to see the glory of the Lord come down? I want to see the glory of the Lord. I want to see the power of God move. I want to see what God has in store for. How many believe that God has something in store for us in these last days? See, we cannot fight. We cannot fight what's going on out there. The pagan gods of old, you know, are hovering over this country. The pagan gods of old are hovering over this country. We have abortion, which they sacrifice babies under false gods. What do you think is happening right now? We need to declare war. How do I declare war? How can I declare war against the evil that's out there? How can I do that? How can you do that? I can do it by my mouth, by the Word. The Word tells me that He is within me is greater than He is in this world. Hallelujah. I have power and authority through that Word. Every situation, we can't stop and say, oh me, poor me, poor me. Healing is ours. How many of you know that? The healing is ours. Now, I know I said this last Sunday, but I'm saying it again. I'm healed. You say, yeah, but look, preacher, look what you got. I'm still healed. I'm healed from the cross of Calvary. When I went to the cross and I accepted Jesus Christ, not only was my sins covered by the blood of Christ, not only was I forgiven, not only did Jesus take my sin to the cross, but I was healed at the cross of Calvary. Now, I cannot tell you why I'm going through what I'm going through. And I'll be honest with you. I cannot tell why some of you are going through things you're going through. But I do know there's a power and there's an authority in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. God, through Jesus Christ, has given me authority. Given me authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The words should not come out of my mouth. Poor me. Oh, I get frustrated because of what I'm going through. My wife will tell you. But I still know in my heart who's in control. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? How many of you know what's going to happen an hour from now? None of us do. But God does. God's going before you. God's with you. God's there for you. No matter what happens, God is with you. We as God's children must realize that there is a time to sit and talk and a time to stand and fight. Anybody who has been in the military knows there are situations where you must hold the line. And there are situations where you must hold the line and wait for the opportunity to do battle. The line training, after their training, they take up their position and their weapons and become obedient to those that are over them. Who's over us? After our training, what's our training? What's your training? What's my training in the body of Christ? It's time of prayer. It's time of us praying together. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest weapons you have is prayer and fasting. And the Word. Let the Word become life to you. The Word is life. This is our life right here. This is it. But not anything else. Not what anybody else. Not what a denomination tells me. But what does this Word tell me? What is God telling me through His Word? And that is the important thing. Does the word tell me that I'm victorious? Amen, it does. How many of you know you're victorious in Christ Jesus? You got the victory. You won. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what's happening in your life right now, no matter what, coming down the road, you are victorious. You are a winner in Christ Jesus. The battle has already been won by Jesus at the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit is already moving in front of you. He's already there if you will yield to Him. I tell you, glory to God. I think God's going to do some great things. I think God's going to do some great things in these last days. But we must step forward and be who God wants us to be. Push the world aside and say, God, here I am. I am a living sacrifice. It tells me in Romans that we become a living sacrifice. I'm not controlled by the world, but I am controlled by the Word of God. The Word of God, I am a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I am a living sacrifice for you. Whatever you want for me to do, God, I'll do. Whatever it is, it doesn't make no difference. God, I'll do it. And then he goes on to say, we're in a big fight. There's a command, I believe, today to go to battle. There's a chance for us to come together and unite. Unite together in a body of Christ. We're one. We are one in the body of Christ. You know, when we get saved, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body. And we become one body. When God looks down, He don't see Tony, He don't see me, He don't see Irene, or He don't see any others in here. But what He sees is Jesus Christ, His Son. Because that's the body of Christ. That's the church. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And when God sees it, He sees the body, a unit, working together for Jesus Christ. We're not here because by chance. I'm not here this morning by chance. All this has not happened by chance. Sister Halsey is not here by chance. I believe that any time that we come together in the body of Christ, and those that are here are those that God has placed here for a particular day, for a particular time, for a particular purpose. Sometimes you'll find yourself somewhere where you never thought you'd be, but you're there because God has placed you there. How many times have you been somewhere that you had a chance to witness to somebody that you never thought you could witness to? Have you ever been there to talk to them? Why? You said, by chance. No, it wasn't by chance. God orchestrated that. He got you there. The Holy Spirit moved. And when you have a chance to witness and be a witness for Christ, He's going to move on you and He's going to move on the individual that you come to testify with. You are most likely saying, but this is Christ and nothing to do with me. Wrong. Let us read Mark 15 through 18. Mark 16, starting with 15 verses. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And who believes and maybe is baptized will be saved. But who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17. These are the signs that will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Are you a believer? It says, what? It says, and those signs will follow those who believe. What's the signs that's going to follow you? What's the signs? They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Do you remember that day where the Bible talking about the 120 in the upper room were there for 10 days. 10 days! You know, we can't come to the altar for 15 minutes. And we want something from God. We get up and walk on. Well, God didn't answer. They spent 10 days in that upper room. 120 of them. And the Spirit of God fell upon them. And they spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you preach about the Spirit and about tongues. I'm telling you, I'm Pentecostal. I believe in the Word of God. I believe what God heard. I believe what Acts said. I believe what God's telling me. God's telling me to search. You know, Tony, what can I say? But God, touch our lives. Help us to understand that we have a power right there waiting for us to be used. And it goes on, it says they will speak in other tongues. Verse 18 says, they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not by means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many times have we seen Jesus Christ just speak the word and they were healed? Lay hands on them, they were healed. What did Jesus hand down to us? What's our inheritance as believers? The ability. I'm going to say something. We've got people out there in this world that are demonic. Hear them. Take a look at some of these actors and actors and band leaders and groups like that. They're demonic. They need deliverance. I've seen a day where we would pray for those that were demonic and they were delivered. Church, can I ask the question? What's happened to us? What's happened to the church? What's happened to the body of Christ? God has given us so much. He's given us so much. Can we not stand up? You know, some people say, well, I can't get into the presence of God. I just have trouble. I'm going to tell you something, church. A church that cannot worship, a church that cannot get, because God said, I will dwell in your worship and in your presence. As you praise me, I will dwell in your presence. As you praise me. Hallelujah. We need to praise God. We need to worship Him. If we don't do anything in a service, we need to worship God. As He prayed for, and the fire fell down into the temple. I want to see the fire fall in this church. I want to see the power of God come down and touch lives that need to be changed. Hallelujah. The devil cannot stop what God's doing. Only you or I or individuals can stop. See, I can stop what God's going to do in my life. How many of you know what I'm saying? If God wants to do something in my life, I need to open my heart and say, okay, God, do it. It bothers me when I see people that need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was I got filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be in church. Are you hearing me? You don't have to be in this sanctuary. You can be in your own house, in your own bedroom. You kneel down and pray. Get into the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you, God can do things in your life. Man, He can do things in your life. Well, my brother, who was born deaf, talked to me when I went on vacation back there to Pennsylvania. He wanted to talk to me. And he said, Arnie. I said, what? He said, I want to talk. I said, okay. What is it, Wayne? He said, I went in my bed. I was praying. And he said, these words came out. And I started to grin. I said, Wayne, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, he said, I read about that. And I looked at it. My wife's family member, which one was the pastor of the deaf church? Do you know that they are deaf and cannot speak? And they can give a message in tongues, pronounce every word, and someone will interpret? That's exciting to me because God can move on any individual. He can move on people that are willing to give their lives to God. And that is what we need in this day that we're living. We need to give our lives to God. More so today than we ever have in our lives. God, here I am. I have become that sacrifice. In battle, we must use that weapon which would be do the most damage. And that is the Word. With the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage in people's lives, which produces power against the devil. We can't just sit and maintain, or we can go ahead and conquer. We can just sit as we are and be happy and say, boy, we got me, you, and us, and that's it. Just maintain where we are. Or we can step forward, be what God wants us to be, as individuals and as a body of Christ. And we become conquerors. How many wants to be a conqueror? I don't want to sit and maintain. I just don't want to. I want to see something happening. I want to see lives change, people delivered. And that can happen in the day we're living. To conquer means to be in what? Control. Maintain means you're only doing what it takes not to lose ground. But you also are not gaining ground. We must force the enemy back and back and back and back. How? By prayer, by worship, by praise, by lifting God up. The more we pray, I believe that the weakest Christian hits their knees. The devil goes, no, no, not another one. The weakest Christian hits their knees. When the weakest Christian starts praying, and we start to pray like God wants us to pray and seek Him and come into His presence. In Mark, we are being told to go out into the world and do battle, just as Joshua did when Moses stood on the hill and won only. When Moses' hands were lifted up, when our hands are lifted up, we surrender to God's praise, then we have victory. When we can lift our hands and say, God, I surrender. I'm yours. Hallelujah. I give my life to you. He made a declaration of war. He was qualified. There was no limit to the power of God. Jeremiah 10 and 12, the power to make the earth. Daniel 4 and 30, built the house of the kingdom by his power. Psalms 147:5, power of understanding. Matthew 9:8 and 28 and 18, power to heal. Mark 3 and 5, healing and land, restoring the land. Luke 4 and 14, returning in the power of the Spirit. What is his mission? To unite God and man, to bring the gospel, to evangelize the world, to spread the good news. What was his message? His message was deliverance. His message was liberty. His message was hope. His message was restoration of vision. His message was reconciliation. His message was healing the brokenhearted. As I come to you this morning, I had a lot of thoughts going through my head, as you probably know. When you don't get the Word, you have to really search your heart and ask you. I could have went two or three different ways. But I chose this morning. I felt the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody or bring anybody down. But you know, as I share, I fought and going to a church of God. I said, those people are radical. They're crazy. I don't want to go there. They run and shout and scream and holler. They pray in all these tongues and all this other language. I don't want none of that. But I tell you, oh, precious Lord, as I searched for a church, I ended up going to a little church of God in Bisbee, Arizona. And wouldn't you know that the first night service I went to, of course, how many of you know when you're looking for a church, you don't go up front, just sneak in the back pew? You know, you get in the back, the far front. I was standing in the back and sitting in the back, and the Spirit of the Lord started to move in that service. And these people started worshiping the Lord. The power of God and the power started falling upon that service. And I thought, well, I'm going to get out of here. And all of a sudden, I heard some women behind me praying, oh, Lord, bless him. I thought, oh, man, look where I'm at now. I can't get out of here. But when I got out, I said, I ain't going back there. Those people were crazy. Guess where I went the next Sunday? Back to the same church. There was something that drew me, and that was the Holy Spirit. You see, if we don't have the Spirit of God in our services and in our worship, there's nothing to draw those out there. I'm going to share, when I was in the world, and I was running around, going to bars. I did. I'm telling you, God had a work to do in my life. I didn't want to go to a bar where it was all dark, no lights, and no people. I wanted to go somewhere where there was music going on and laughter and all that going on. And you know what? I found out when it comes to church, after I got saved and filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, I didn't want to go to a dead church neither. I wanted to go to a church that the power of God was there, that God was moving, and people were rejoicing and people praising God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's what I want. How do we get there? We worship God. We worship God. We worship God. And we give God His time. We give God His time. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, we say, okay, Lord, I'm here. How many of you want to go out that door feeling the same way you came in? I don't. Brother George, do you? I want to go out that door carrying something with me and maybe lifting me up and bringing a joy and a presence of God in my life. I want something. That's why I come to church. Because I want something. I need something in my life. You say, you're a preacher. Yeah, I've been at it for 50 years. That don't make no difference. I still need the presence of God. I need something from God in my life. Every one of us, none of us is perfect. We're all needy children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're all needy children. We're needing a closer walk with God. I'm going to ask you to stand. Now let's just spend some time. My wife's going to lead us. Let's spend some time worshiping God. And any of you, listen to me this morning. If you need prayer, as the Lord leads you, I want you to step out. You say, why do you want us to come up there, preacher? First of all, because when you step out, it's a step of faith that you're going to believe that God's going to touch you when you come up here. Second of all, because the Word tells us to call forth the elders of the church, and pray a prayer of faith on that individual that makes sure, if you read the Scripture, that they're right with God. There will be anything in their life. That they can ask forgiveness and pray a prayer of faith. So if the Lord leads you and you need prayer, you need to be anointed, I want you just to step out. But we're going to just worship the Lord for a while. Is that all right with y'all? Just worship. Let's see what God's going to do. Let's see what God's going to do. But that means you've got to do your part. How many can raise your hands? Can you raise your hands? By raising your hands, you're surrendering. Saying, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Right here. Here I am. Touch me. Heal me. Bless me. I want your blessing. Let's just worship God.
Something about that name. You are Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, oh, they'll all pass away, but there's something
hallelujah. About that name.
Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, oh, Jesus,
there's
something wonderful about that name.
Hallelujah.
You are Master, Savior, oh, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus,
Jesus,
oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. They'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Lord, for you are worthy of praise. You're worthy of glory and honor, and we honor you with our praise this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Sing it again.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We bless your name, O Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. And I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Can you give the Lord a praise offering? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't like to dismiss. What I like to do is say, go under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May He lead and guide you. I don't want to dismiss you. I just want to go under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.